Deep in the forest, there is a potion. No, on a spaceship, or maybe the ocean.
Hello and happy time zone. Welcome to Dungeons and To Be Determined, the show where you make the rules and we play with the consequences. I'm your host, Joey T. Badger, and I'm thrilled to introduce the first episode of our entirely improvised tabletop role-playing game live play. In under 60 minutes, we'll create and play in a brand new TTRPG. Think Dungeons and Dragons, but everything, the rules, the abilities, the classes, and everything else is made up by the audience and the players. We have no idea what's going to unfold. It's to be determined. Please enjoy episode 1 of DNTBD, which was recorded live on Twitch. And here is your game master, John Serpico.
So what I'm looking at in front of me here is a blank piece of paper. Why? Why are we doing this? Why didn't I write anything down ahead of time? Well, to prove that we can do it. To prove that we can play a game without writing it out first. Let's start with a fantasy setting here. Or really any setting at all. Could be fantasy, could be modern, could be high fantasy, low fantasy, horror. Let's put them in the chat. Literally any setting for a role-playing game. What do we got?
Please, Stellas.
Western.
Oh, I love it. All right, we're going to go Western.
All right, so we've got a Western. That is perfect. Now, for this Western setting, we need to know what dice we're rolling here. Now, I'll give everybody three options just to make it easier. A D20, roll and keep with D10s, or a big pile of D6s. Those are our options. D20, D10s, bunch of D6s. What do we got? No wrong answers here, obviously. Because at the end, we're going to hear... Ah, I see the first thing in the chat was a D20. All right, so we're going to roll a D20. And let me make up some rules for that.
We never get to roll our 20s.
Yeah, we never roll D20s.
No, so now when you roll...
Oh, hold on. Six shooters.
All right, we're doing D6s.
Oh, sorry, Explody.
Here's how it's gonna work.
Six shooters is really good.
We got it. It's a Western set. We got to do six shooters. So, here's how it's gonna work. Is we are going to 46 sixes are successes. 2 sixes means critical successes.
Ooh,
there it is. You're gonna be bullseyeing. We're gonna call it a bull. Oh. Critical success is a bullseye.
I love it. I love it.
Love that.
What do we call it? A critical failure.
Yeah. We need a critical failure. That would be no sixes and at least 1-1. That would be a fail. That'd be a critical failure. No sixes plus a one.
Four eyes.
That's deeply hurtful to me with glasses. But we're gonna go with it.
No
sixes of go with four it. Eyes.
So yeah, all right, so 1-6, that's a success. 2 sixes, that's a bullseye. That means hey, you get everything you want. No sixes and a one is a critical failure, and things will happen when that happens. This is perfect. All right, so now we need traits for this system we're building up here. Every character is going to have 3 traits. Now, we need the names of those traits for a Western setting. It could be something like, you know, grit, steely-eyedness, and ability with gun. It could even be smoother than that. I'm not the one making it up. You all are.
Sharp shooting.
All right, sharp shooting is one.
Okay, yep. Chat, feel free to throw them in.
Lateness is apparently one.
Yep, lateness. Lateness is, so you got sharp shooting, you got lateness. and we need a third stat.
We got some coming in from Daisel.
Gumption.
Gumption.
Oh, Gumption is so good.
We're doing Gumption here.
Take Gumption. Right. That's great.
Perfect. So we have sharpshooting. That's going to be sharpshooting. We're going to... Oh, and by the way, every character is going to be really good at one of the stats and just neutral on the other two. Mm-hmm. So if you're really good, after you roll your four dice, you get to re-roll one of them. That's if you're really good.
Do we have a plus one and a minus one, or plus one and then just two zeros?
I say just a plus one for this. Okay. Plus one and two zeros. So sharpshooting. Sharpshooting is going to govern, your ability with guns. Also, your ability to say really witty things really fast. That's sharpshooting. Lateness, also known as the saunter stat, is just how cool you are. No one's in a rush in the Wild West. Everyone's taking it nice and easy. So your lateness, that's the saunter stat. That's how good you are at sauntering. It's how good you are at looking cool. That's how good you are at packing tobacco into a pipe and staring at tumbleweeds. Then you got gumption. Mm-hmm. Gumption's okay. Your ability to bite down on the leather strap and deal with what's in front of you. That's your ability to get a tattoo without screaming, or have to dig a bullet out of your side, or drink snake poison just to see what it'll do to you. That's gumption.
That's gumption.
Now we need classes. So we need a class for each thing. So folks in the chat, I want you to name some classes here. What are classes that could exist in a Wild West game?
Slicker.
Oh, that's right, a good class.
Our four classes, there's you got a City Slicker, you got a Jug Player, you've got a Beansmith, and you've got a Card Sharp.
Wait, someone tell me what a jug player is.
Someone who plays a jug.
Yeah, so you have a big jug and you carry it around and you blow into it and you go like.
I could blow it.
Oh, yeah, you gotta blow into the jug.
And then maybe you hit it. I thought it was a percussive.
All right, so I think here, now a city. So let's go back to the. So our traits here are. Okay. Because I'll assign the bonus to the trait. All right. So, I think a jug player is good at gumption. You gotta be. I would say a city slicker, a card shark. Sharp. With a P, not a K. That's how these things go.
Chat said, card sharp.
Yeah, sharp. Yeah.
Card sharp.
It is indeed sharp. Yeah, right. Obviously, they're a sharp shooter, so their bonus is to sharpshooting, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, what are the other stats we got?
Gumption, sharp, and lateness.
Yeah, gotcha.
Do we need another one for the other class?
No, I think we got three stats. Someone's just going to get lucky here. The Beansmith, absolutely plus to lateness. What kind of hurry is a Beansmith in? They do things at their own speed.
God.
It's funny song.
Here's my hot take. The City Slicker has no bonus to anything. However, once a game, they could say, that's not how we did things out east, and re-roll everything. Just once.
And re-roll everything?
Re-roll everything. Just one. You got to re-roll everything.
Oh, great. My God.
Perfect. All right. I think each of you need to pick a...
I like how they say, and re-roll everything.
Yeah. Yeah, duh.
Great. I'll be a jug player.
Right. Nice. Marissa will be the jug player.
Oh, I could be a beansmith.
All right, I'll be the card sharp.
Yes, great. And I will be the best class, the city slicker.
The city slicker. Mm. I just had to give you that reroll, Joey.
Thank you.
I'm such so a excited. Classic Joey moment.
Yeah, you get the full reroll. All right, now here's one thing we have to do. Each of these traits has each of these characters, these classes, they have a special ability. Now again, we handled everything except the special ability. And that city slicker, that back east thing, that's not a special ability. That's just it's just a state of being, really. So we need every class here to have a special ability that can be done once a game. No, not once a game. That's far too restrictive. Just a special ability that we can add on to each character. So if anyone in the chat has a good idea, let's hear it. Also, if any of the players have a good idea for a different player, let's hear it as well.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, okay.
I think that the beansmith should have the ability to read the beans, which is a type of fortune telling. It's a type of fortune telling where you spill the beans out on a table and see how they land. So the beansmith can see what's to come by
Absolutely.
Reading the beans.
So, yep, if you successfully spill the beans, then I, the GM, will successfully spill some beans about what may lie in your future. That's perfect. Absolutely yeah. perfect.
Oh, my God.
Spill the beans, Joey.
Sometimes you gotta open up the console. Spill the beans, see into the future.
That's so good. Oh my lord.
Oh my god. Okay, great.
Legumancy.
What it is. There are a lot of names for this ancient skill. A lot of names for something this profound.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, a stewsayer?
Stewsayer is also good.
That's so funny.
I cannot get over how much I love that. Okay, what else? What else do we have for... we need one for the city slicker, the jug player, and the card sharp.
Well, a jug player can obviously soothe enemies with their lusset jug tones.
Mm-hmm. Lusset? Mm-hmm. What's lusset mean?
Doesn't lusset mean like beautiful? Like in terms of sounds?
Maybe.
Well, it does here.
What did you say, Bridget?
Dulcet. That's what I'm thinking. They can slice the deck.
Yeah. Okay. The card sharp can slice the deck. That also means even the odds. So if the card sharp is ever outnumbered or the odds are against you all, the card sharp can make a declaration about why the odds are actually even instead.
Mm.
And if it's good enough, I'll accept it.
Okay.
All right. Now we just need one for the city slicker, and then we are good to go.
Oh, one for the city slicker, huh? I like that. It's not really good at everything. Pocket watch.
Yeah, you can accurately tell the time. Any given point, you know what the time is.
I feel like my character's a little overpowered.
Between the reroll and the ability to precisely tell time, oh yeah. Yeah, that's real good.
That's pretty good.
We're not going to be missing any trains.
Mm-mm. Nope.
That's crucially important.
Sure not. Okay, awesome.
All right. So, I've got everything I need to run a 40-minute game. except for a title. So this is not Dungeons and Dragons. There are no dungeons and likely very few dragons in it. So chat, what are we going to call this thing? Based on the vibe that you're getting so far, just give me some words. Just throw some words out that make sense in this world. And by make sense, I mean literally name any words. There are no wrong answers here.
We'll make it work.
We're going to make it work. No problem. Barrels and asses.
No, this is also a family-friendly show. Let's keep it classy in the chat, please. Thank
what about
you.
Barrels and donkeys?
Barrels and donkeys? I like donkeys.
Barrels and donkeys.
Yeah, technically.
Legumes and lost time.
That's what they meant when they said that first thing.
Of course, yeah. Legumes and lost time.
Barrels and donkeys, a games of legumes and lost time. That's
That's beautiful.
That's really something else.
You know what? I am. There it is. Yeah. And we played this game many times. Like,
God, I love this game.
Barrels and Donkeys. I play this game in high school, in college, after college. I had a campaign that lasted 3 years.
Yeah, this is absolutely one of my favorite settings. It's one of my favorite rule sets. I mean, I've been playing this since I was a late teen, early 20s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now this campaign here, obviously, we've all been playing in this for several months now. You've all leveled up a couple of times. Mm-hmm. You know a little bit more about your characters.
I finally get my pocket watch. It was a long time coming. I finally get my pocket watch.
So, so how about this? Since we all know our characters very well, why don't we go around the circular gambling table here and give me your give me your character name and your catchphrase.
Sure. I'll start. Hi, I'm Joey. I play Bruce, the city slicker, who it says, hey, who always, you know, known for saying, I'm from Baltimore. That's not how we do it out east.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
That's right. All right.
Goes. Welcome back, Bruce.
I'm Marissa, and I play Toots the Jug Player.
Mm-hmm.
I often will end sentences by saying, so it's come to this.
Outstanding. Who else do we have?
Go ahead, please.
I'm Bridget, and I play Pinto the Beansmith. And you'll often hear me saying, the Beansmith tells no myths.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, hi there. I'm Kaylee, and I'm playing Calliope the Card Sharp. And you can bet when you see me out west, I'm always saying things like, bet on it.
That is perfect. All right. Well, so where we left off last session of this game that, again, we have been playing for months, you were all just getting you were camping out in the, you know, out on the prairie because you had you all had a mission that you received from the mayor of your hometown. And that was to go two
mayor
towns over.
Hmm? The mayor of Baltimore.
Yeah, the mayor of Baltimore, who Bruce sent you two towns over, which is what the mayor of Baltimore calls literally anything that's not Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to retrieve a parcel, and you're retrieving it from a town that apparently is quite lawless. Now, chat, I need the name of that town. That said, what folks, while we're getting the name, what folks did you hear from the mayor and during your investigations along the trail about this town? What's this town known for?
Hmm. Animals don't like it there. They run away. No one gets to grow up with a little pet rooster anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, all their animal produce has to be imported. You know, the only thing that they have, the only reason why they know animals exist is from them school books.
Yeah.
That's right. No animals at all. But luckily, we have our finest export, a special drink called Slurp. Everybody drinks Slurp in this town.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So you see
there's a most important thing that I didn't get to mention. Hell, they don't have a decent stationery shop sharp anywhere. You try to buy some good parchment, you can't buy it. They only have bad, dangerous parchment shops.
That was
not
the
like
thing.
In Baltimore.
No, heavens no. And that was the thing that the Baltimore mayor warned you most emphatically about. He looked you right in the eye and said, Bruce, just so you know, you're going to have to bring in any fine vellum you want to use, because rest assured, they've got nothing in the town of Paulus Pass. So you're all on a bluff overlooking Paulus Pass. And
oh, this is definitely Paulus Bluff.
Mm-hmm. There's Paulus Bluff outside of Paulus Pass. Now, you're looking, and before you even crested the bluff, you saw this thin wisp of like acrid looking silvery smoke from the Slurp Works, which is the biggest employer in this small ramshackle town. And as you indeed crest the top of the bluff, you see it. All of Paulus Pass is built around this big sprawling stone building with this kind of steepled roof and this big chimney in the middle. And again, the smoke that's coming out of it's unlike any smoke you've ever seen. It's silvery. It's almost reflective. You think you could smell it
in Baltimore? We just have regular smoke.
Mm-hmm. So that is what you are looking at. There are, as you kind of look, you catch a glint of something on the outskirts of the town. That it's mostly a circular town. But on the outskirts of it, closest to you, there's kind of a, you know, a wooden building, and in the top of it, you see like a glint. And the sense you get is you're being looked at, probably by the end of a spyglass or a pair of binoculars.
Hmm. Anybody feel like we're being watched, or is it just the quiet nature of this town?
No, we're being watched.
Oh.
The beans. Why, Pinto, what do the beans say?
Let me read them.
All right. So you are reading the beans. And let me open up the chat here and take a look at So roll 4d6 and pick the middle two. This is going to be a your bean craft is a lateness roll.
It is an 8.
Perfect. Are there any 6s in there?
No.
Ah. The beans are murky today.
Oh, murky beans.
I think some of that acrid smoke got in them. It always makes them sort of irritated.
The sense you get is that, hold on. Your lateness is a +1, which means you can re-roll one of those dice. Maybe you'll get a 6 on that re-roll.
Oh, that is true. Come on, beans. I got exactly the same thing.
Ah, I see. The beans are stubborn.
They're stubborn. They need to sleep. I need to put them in the ground for a few hours.
So it was no success, but nor was it a critical failure. You don't think whoever is looking at you, if anyone, means you any harm.
They don't mean any harm, I think. That's about all I know.
That said, there is coming from outside of town, there's prairie land fenced off for cattle grazing, out beyond it, but then kind of beyond that pale over the furthest fences. You see a couple of riders on horses, kind of looping around and swinging towards the bluff that you're on.
Riders, you say?
They'll be here in a few minutes. Indeed.
Riders, yes.
Well, I believe they're from a certain gang. Chat, what's the name of this gang that they're from?
Yeah, that well could be.
I'm terrified of riders. I don't know. And I'm going to hide.
Don't worry,
underneath.
Toots. Go ahead and get behind me.
Okay, I'm gonna get behind. Calipy.
I'm gonna take out my slingshot and ready my weapon.
You do, Calliope. You load. You load the slingshot with a hefty stone. As they get a little closer, your fears are confirmed. They are probably the kind of the frontier gang that smells the yeastiest, the Riders.
Terrible people, but they make good bread.
They make outstanding bread. Two of them ride up, and they stop. They crest the bluff as well. They're about 20 feet away from you. One of them kind of, you know, kicks the horse, goes forward a step or two, and looks at all of you. The name's Macy. Something of an unofficial sheriff in these parts.
What do you want, Macy? We don't mean any harm.
Well, we'll be the judge of the harm you mean. Macy takes out a crusty loaf of bread from her saddlebag and takes a meaningful bite out of it like it's a piece of hand fruit. The people in that there town pay us for protection, you see. And so we're doing some protecting.
Wait, protection from what?
The unknown. We don't know you from Adam.
We're here on a peaceful mission.
Oh.
We'll just take what we need and go.
Yeah, Calliope wouldn't hurt a fly.
Well, if I don't even think they can.
I hide my slingshot behind my back.
If that's the case, then perhaps a offering in good faith to the sheriff would be in order. You want to keep peace? We want to keep peace. And she extends a hand.
I place one bean in her hand. This is worth more than all the bread you could make in a generation.
No, not the bean.
Oh, a social contest. I remember this rule.
Yeah, what? How do social contests work in this game we love so much, Barrels and Donkeys?
You have to make direct eye contact until someone can't anymore during the gift-giving process. And I never drop eye contact.
All right, please begin the stare down. 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, Serp lost.
Macy bats away a fly.
Thank you.
I will accept this bean in the spirit with which it was given. Best of luck in the town. There's trouble down there.
We can handle anything. Bet on it.
Can. And they ride off.
So it's come to this.
Yes, it has, Toots.
So it has.
All right. So you
we walk down to the city.
You walk down into the city, the
as a squad.
As a squad. And sure enough, you pass the building where someone was looking out at you, but the building is boarded up, even if or shuttered, I should say. The windows on the first floor are covered with these big clapboard shutters, and the door is locked. The town itself is very quiet, though you hear kind of the distant rumbling as if summer thunder coming from the middle of town. You think it has something to do with the slurp works. But there are no animals you can see, none walking the street, no rats, no mice, no dogs, no mousers, anything. And if you do see anybody, they are kind of walking briskly from one location to the other.
I'm going to try to flag one of them down.
Sure. This is going to be, what should we roll for this? I think we should roll... Now, do you want to approach this from a position of coolness or from a position of gumption?
I'll position it from gumption.
Got it. So
I'm trying to take control of the situation.
You are. This is, you know, broad stance, steely eyes. So why don't you roll 4d6s and tell me how many sixes you get?
I've got no sixes.
Hmm. Do you have any ones?
I have no ones.
No. Well, all right. So you survey the town here. You kind of you walk through with you know, a sufficient amount of swagger, and people are giving you a wide berth. They're kind of narrowing their eyes as you pass. There are whispers that go. There's a saloon here with a particularly interesting name that the chat's going to share with us. Across from the saloon, there's a great big church with a great big wooden steeple and a wooden cross on it. And yeah, in between the two is something approximating a town square. There are things you see in this town square. Old dried blood, baked brown under the sun.
Ugh.
Yeah, at one point, Pinto, you have a feeling, and you kind of take a knee and kind of scratch around in the dust and pull out an old dented sheriff's badge.
I pin it on myself.
You pin it on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Sheriff Pinto, that's a great name.
Thank you.
There are at least a couple of people watching this from inside the Stinky Horse pub. So named because of the very evocative sign above the door, which is painted to a level of artistry you have not yet seen in this town, depicting a horse with a palpable stink coming off of it. Two of the people in there see you pick up the badge and whisper to each other, and then kind of one walks deeper into the bar where you can't see them. Chat, what is it that they have come to the town of Paulus Pass to collect for the Baltimore?
Well, that comes in. I think we should go into this saloon to get a drink. I am parched in this western sun.
Sure. Let's go fetch us some slurp.
So,
what if we get into a fight?
We'll win.
Don't be nervous, Toots. I got my sling.
Okay. We won every fight before. What thinks we would lose this one, Toots?
I'm just afraid we're going to hurt a bunch of people real bad.
Oh, Toots.
So you all walk in to
as a squad
to the Stinky Horse. Your job is to find the Hat of Zest, which the Baltimore is insistent belongs to him, but somehow made its way out here. So you walk into the bar, and the bar is a particularly colorful place compared to the relative drabness of the rest of the town. Everything out there is, you know, brick red or sandy tan or, you know, kind of boring, forgettable light slate gray. But in here, there are paintings on the wall. There's a piano that's playing. There are people in here that are spending money. Some are spending money like there's no tomorrow. Some are spending money like there is a tomorrow, but they're not going to make it. There's a game of cards being played, games of dice. Bruce.
I would like to create an intentional social faux pas to force their hand.
Ah, well played. You demand attention in this way. Sure, I'm going to say that is a that's a sharpshooting roll, because that's a very clever thing to do. So roll 4d6 and tell me what you get.
Oh, I got 1-6.
All right. So, that is a success. Perfect. So describe what faux pas you commit.
I walk up to the bar and say, excuse me, barkeep, I would like an ice glass of mineral water, please.
So it's come to this.
Extra sparkling.
The bartender. The bartender is... Well, we need a name for the bartender. But while we're getting one, The bartender kind of looks you up and down, looks around at everybody else in the bar, and everybody else kind of leans forward with a big smile on their face, waiting for what's about to happen. The bartender, Bart Fender, reaches under the bar, produces a big, thick-cut piece of ham steak, and slaps you across the face with it.
Oh! I just asked for some water. This doesn't happen in Baltimore.
Mister, we don't serve anything aside from slurp and ham steak. Now, which is it you want?
Well, I guess I'll have the ham steak then. I don't like this slurp stuff. I'll look around.
There are people now mumbling in that "what should we do about this" tone of voice.
I'm gonna grip the handle of my slingshot on my belt loop in preparation.
I'm gonna grab my jug in preparation.
I'm gonna open my can of combat beans in preparation.
I'm gonna check the time.
2:36 and 20 seconds.
Just past lunch.
People are starting to clutch their ham steaks in a way that would suggest trouble's a coming. But the bartender has given you his full attention, and he leans in. You're clearly out of towners.
Yes, I'm from Baltimore.
So you must be looking for the thing.
That's right.
So you know of the thing. Tell us what you know of it. And I push a firm, thick coin with Abraham Lincoln's face on it.
That's as thick as it is firm. Hmm. That's a Lincoln, all right.
A firm Lincoln.
I'll tell you what, sir. If you don't want to give up any information about what we're looking for, why don't you bet on it? Play me in a stack of cards.
Yeah, we're just from the big city out east. What we probably don't even know how to play cards.
All righty. The bartender, Bart Fender, is going to give you one piece of information. He's going to give it to you as the game is being set up. The game is called Stacks. And he walks out from behind the bar. A rather immense other barkeeper kind of walks in and starts tending drinks while he, you know, walks out from behind the bar and grabs an empty table. I could tell you one thing while you and your friends cut the cards. You ain't the first group that mayor of Baltimore sent out here to get that thing.
So it's come to this.
All right. Calliope, roll sharpshooting. Again, 46, and you could re-roll one of those dice when you're done.
They also get a plus one reroll because of my flustering the bartender, correct?
Absolutely, you do. Yeah, the fluster rules are in effect now.
So I get two rerolls?
You can reroll up to two dice.
For fluster rules.
For fluster rules, because they're in effect.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, I'm going to reroll two. I've got no sixes. No sixes. Hmm.
All right. I'll let you ask. Good. So I'll let you ask one question that is not where is the hat?
My question is, who should we ask about the hat?
So the game of Stacks is very, very complicated. I want each of you to share a rule about the game.
It is always played while eating pancakes.
Mm-hmm. You know, like in poker, when you have the river, in stacks, the cards out on the table is known as the butter pat. Mm-hmm. And it's literally on a butter platter.
And what's interesting about this game, it does have a bit of a timer on it. When you play, you add syrup. So you progressively get more and more sticky, kind of like a drinking game where you get more and more intoxicated. You get more and more sticky and thus get worse at the game.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, and partway through the game, after everyone's, mostly pretty sticky, someone can shout, "Find it!" And what you do is you take the entire stack of cards and you form two walls of a maze as quickly as you can. And you have 60 seconds to make the most complicated maze with the two walls of cards that you can. And then someone has to walk their fingers like this through the maze, but their hands are all sticky by that point. And if they touch the wall of the maze and a card sticks to their hand, that card is no longer in play. Rip it up. It's done.
Mm-hmm. This is a deeply destructive game that leaves everybody logy and tired. But it gets people talking. It gets lips wagging, which is why
social game.
Social game, which is why Stacks is a very smart game to play when you're trying to squeeze somebody for information. And mm-hmm. so you do that, and soon the the wooden table you're playing on is saturated with syrup, covered in squishy, overhydrated pancakes. Piles of cards are ripped up. You've all gained several pounds of just pure pancake batter. And by the end of it, Bart Fender says, "The de facto leader of this town is the leader of that slurp factory. Her name's Arne Wellner. You can get into that slurp factory and talk to Arne. He'll tell you what for."
You're one hell of a Stacks player, Bart Fender.
Same, stranger. Same.
I push my way out the double saloon doors.
Yep. Your hand sticks to one of the doors. You have to kind of peel it, but it looks pretty cool. Sure enough, you're all outside. Calliope, you are the most covered in syrup, but all of you are in the splash zone. Normally, after Calliope kind of rings people for information with that game of hers, you're hounded by flies or stray dogs. None of that here. That choking acrid smoke is keeping
them away. So we all have light stuck, and Calliope has moderate stuck.
Yeah, so be sure to update your character sheets. Light stuck for all of you, Calliope, stuck. Moderate stuck.
Yep.
Okay. We'll see if it comes into play. It may or may not. You have to get into the Slurp Factory and talk to Arne Wellner. As you surveil the Slurp Factory, it's the town is built in a very interesting way. You could, if you're looking at it from the top, it's like a big circular dinner plate divided into quarters, because there are kind of two. There's a north-south street and an east-west street, kind of dividing it into quarters. In the middle, though, is this factory, and surrounding this factory is kind of a big, wide, circular street. So these kind of the north, south, east, west roads all kind of meet it, go in this big promenading circle around it.
I check my pocket watch.
3:15 and 10 seconds.
Ah, perfect time. This must be when the shift is changing.
And sure enough, the shift is changing.
Oh, wow.
While this game of Stacks was going on, Bruce, you were able to schmooze with some of the other locals, and they said that the 3:15 shift change is happening pretty soon, and all of the people that are currently at the bar drinking need to punch in for work. So there is, sure enough, a great tumult of people walking up one of the streets.
Hurry, everybody, fall in line with the workers.
Yep, whole place is lined up, going through this kind of big wooden fence to get there. So let's have one of you, whichever one of you is feeling the coolest. Oh yes,
can actually blow toot my jug in sort of like a way to make us so that we're marching in line.
Absolutely. So I want one of you to roll lateness. You're going to get an extra reroll because of the power of Toots's jug playing, keeping you in formation. Mm-hmm. Who wants to roll lateness?
I can roll.
All right. Pinto, roll lateness, and you get up to two rerolls.
There was a six.
Nice. Do you want any rerolls? See if you can get a critical or a bullseye, as the kids call it.
I'm going to try. I did not. I got a 6 and a 5.
So
close.
That does get you pretty close. That's a full success. So you get in. A critical would have gotten you in and gotten you all the way to the manager's office. But you are instead in. And now you have to figure out, well, where exactly Arne Wellner is. I will tell you what you see, which is this. The Slurp Factory is incredibly disgusting. Everything in here is slick. The floors are very smooth and kind of pitched down towards the middle. There's this great big chimney in the middle with a roaring coal fire in it. And there's a lot of stuff kind of falling off of tables. There are people smashing some inexplicable fruit with a hammer and taking the bits of the fruit and kind of stuffing them into jars. There are bits of flotsam and jetsam all over the ground, which are being push broomed into this kind of down the sloped floors into this fire in the middle. That's probably what's giving off that silvery smoke. Yeah, it's particularly acrid in here, and you're trying to find time to look at where a manager's office could be in here. So here's what I need. I want all four of you to give me a gumption roll. This is really to make sure that you're able to hold on and not cough and give away the fact that you are not locals. Want you to tell me who I need to. Oh no.
Yeah, I got no sixes and two ones. Looks like I'm a four eyes.
What is that? No. Toots.
I got bullseye.
I also got a bullseye.
Oh, I didn't, but I did get one.
A lot of success. Okay. So
bullseye, success, and Four eyes.
So here's how this is going to work. The three of you that did not, get the four eyes, you're going to all be able to do something to try to find where the mayor is. So, whichever one of you has the kind of the fastest idea, tell me.
I think it's going to be where the smoke isn't. So the smoke's going to be pouring in a direction. I think we look for where it's not.
And you got a bullseye. You got two sixes. That means that's the exact right answer. So you all look, and there's kind of one big exhaust fan in the place. It's being powered by some kind of windmill outside, you think. And sure enough, there's a little room there in the corner. So yeah, you all kind of look around. Toots, you give a knowing nod and a gesture at everybody. And sure enough, that's where Arne Wellner is. Unfortunately, before you get there, Bruce, you let out a thunderous lung-clearing cough.
Bruce.
Hey. Oh, excuse me. Yes.
That's a big city cough.
Yes, I'm from Baltimore.
Oh, oops. No. Bruce.
A couple of you know, well-muscled individuals from one of the nearby tables that instead of smashing these fruit open with hammers are using their bare fists, because why not? Look and say, well, no city slicker is supposed to be. That's right. No city slicker at all.
I engage in a runaround with them to distract my crew.
Here's how this is going to work. You're going to engage in a runaround. And so we're going to roll runaround rules.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to help during the runaround as well.
Oh, you're all involved. This is perfect. Okay. Yeah, it's runaround rules. So let me just turn
runaround
to
rules.
Page 250 of the book.
Classic runaround rules.
Classic runaround rules.
All right. That's why you play the game.
This is why you play the game. Now, here's how this is going to work. I need each of you to roll one die again and again and again until you get a six. When you get a six, raise your hand. Okay. I will be also rolling one die at a time. I need to get four sixes. If I get four sixes before all of you get sixes, well, this runaround results in you being beaten up and thrown into the street. Ooh. If you all beat me, then the runaround ends and you are successful. On your mark.
And don't forget what we have to yell when we get a six.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We'll yell that.
Yeah. Everybody make sure we yell it. We all know.
Everybody make sure y'all
yell.
Exactly.
You have to get a yell.
On your mark, get set, run around.
Donkey!
Donkey!
Yeah! We won the runaround!
You won the runaround. Ah, you beat me sixes to two. Okay.
That's a critical runaround.
That is a critical runaround. So, sure enough, there was a great big calamitous exchange in here. Bruce was sprinting, leaping over tables and engaging in a hot runaround. Calliope firing rocks, stones, chunks of fruit. A very exciting jug song was being played.
I let loose my combat beans on the floor right behind Bruce and right in front of all the other people.
Combat beans scattered in front of everybody. And sure enough, there was a great big fracas, a grand calamity. Half the people in this Slurpworks are now on the ground, covered in various fruit juice, picking beans out of themselves, making sure they don't have any chipped teeth. One of them did, the rest of them didn't. And sure enough, in the commotion, you all snuck out of the runaround successfully because you got a critical and made it to the door of Arne Wellner's office.
Did we just knock, you think?
Arne!
You may enter.
Thank you. Arne, we're here for the hat!
Sitting at a desk, leafing through some paper, is a man wearing the most resplendent hat you've ever seen. And at his feet, a loyal dog. I suppose you're here about the hat.
How did you get a dog in here, in this town?
He taps his hat. This hat is so zesty. So fragrant with a lemony sweetness that it overpowers the smell of the Slurpworks, thus allowing my adorable dog to stay at my side.
Now wait a second.
Conflicted.
I think I know who you are.
Oh, was that so?
You're the Baltimore's sibling.
And I would have been the Baltimore if my older brother did not usurp from me. Well, if you've come all this way, then it means he's serious. And the fact that you beat up that last group that came from Baltimore, who I convinced to work in the Slurp Works after I kidnapped them, it means you're serious. He takes off his hat and hands it to you. I suppose I've done my brother enough harm by keeping his hat hostage for so long. But if you take it, you must know that my dog, who I love very much, and his name is Perfect, is coming with you.
Oh, come here, Perfect.
Perfect waddles up to you. He's a very small roly-poly dog.
I scratch Perfect's tum-tum.
Perfect is pleased.
If you want to see Perfect again, you're going to have to speak with your brother.
I suppose that is the most important lesson of all. One can't just steal a man's hat and expect family problems to resolve themselves. You have taught me an important lesson this day. Go and take Perfect with you.
Come here, Perfect. Yep. Let me tell you your fortune.
And with that, the four of you wander out, feeding Perfect a steady stream of beans and truth on your way back east to Baltimore. We will end it right there.
Oh my goodness. What an arc. It's amazing when an arc finally comes to an end.
Mm-hmm. Reveal. I never thought that the person running the Slurp Factory would be the mayor's sibling.
I thought it was a big enough surprise whenever he had an animal in his office. I mean, we all know animals can be there.
Huge reveals in a row. Didn't see it coming. That runaround, I thought I was going to be toast. I thought
our
that was the last
successful runaround.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's you are constantly thrown out of buildings because of failed runarounds, but this one stuck.
I thought we were headed for jail time.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, remember last jail time? We were just in there. There's no epilogue, is there?
Oh my gosh, yeah, there's four sessions.
Yeah, that's true. All right, quick epilogue. You make it out of town, no problem. Some people nodding at you. Seeing that you've carried Perfect with you, they know that the chief of the Slurp Works has been bested in a game of wits and runaround. You leave town and start the long, long walk back to Baltimore. When Macy of the Riders canters up to you on her horse. Don't think you're going back east so quickly. A letter from the Baron.
All right, the Baron. You always end us on a cliffhanger, Game Master.
I know. And all right, folks, that has been Barrels and Donkeys, a game of legumes and lost times.
Thank you so much for listening to our first episode of Dungeons and To Be Determined. Your Game Master was John Serpico. Your players were Kaylee Kane, Marissa Farmer, Richard Copes, and Joey T. Badger. Original music by Kate Hartley. Thanks, Kate. Produced and edited by Joey T. Badger. We record and perform this show live on Twitch. Watch our VODs or help us create a show live. Info and links are on our website, dntbd.com. That's D, the letter N, tbd.com. If you are in the Boston area on August 26, 2023, we are recording in front of a live audience at the Rockwell Theater in Somerville, Massachusetts. Bummed out that you live on the West Coast? Well, the cast of DNTBD will also be performing Monday, September 4th at PAX West in Seattle. More info and tickets at dntbd.com. Join us next episode where we don't know what will happen. It's to be determined. Thank you again, and we'll see you next time.
My dearest Toots. I wanted to give you a gift.
Oh, okay. I like gifts.
I've been saving all my parcel money to buy you this gold-plated jug.
Oh,
Your timing could not be more impeccable. I just dropped mine and broke it all.
Oh.
Do I owe you anything?
Just loyalty and a nod and a firm toot.
It's come to this.